Truth about markets, Christchurch, New Zealand, Max and Stacy. Hello, Stacy.
Max Kaiser, today is Tuesday, and it is a day that will live in infamy.
Oh, wow. Sounds like FDR.
Thank you.
Yeah, that gave me chills. Now, wait a minute, I got some ice in my underwear. No, that's not, that's actually mice.
Mice, Okay, Richard Gere. Well, you know, today's Kaiser Report, you interview Jim Rogers.
Oh, yeah, great interview.
Great interview. You could go find it on maxkaiser.com. So what are some of the things you talked about with him?
Because I don't remember what's on the show. A lot of it got cut out.
Well, you know, when one realizes that we have to have an 11-minute interview and there's 20 minutes of interview.
Yeah.
That one is handed.
That's right. Well, you know, he gave some good stuff. I mean, he was talking about, I think most interesting for me was this topic of naked short selling.
Mm-hmm. Well, we called him because of the euro thing, and he had said it was going to the end of the euro. And it turns out in our interview with him that we learned that, in fact, he had a large position in euros. So he had lost money.
Yeah, he's on the defensive for sure because, you know, he's been very anti-dollar.
That's correct.
He's been a huge dollar bear, and he moved out of America, and he sold his apartment in New York City, and he moved his family to Asia, and his kids are learning Mandarin, and he hates the dollar, and he sold all of his dollars, and now he's getting hammered.
And now he's getting hammered. But this is, of course, a topic that we have discussed often here on RDU 98.5 Christchurch, New Zealand, because the Kiwi dollar is, of course, a major recipient of the yen carry trade, which is, you know, basically the heart and soul of the Forex market. But he owns yen, Singapore dollars, of course, and euro. He had some, you know, that was part of his hedge, but he said they've gone insane, basically, and he can't believe that the Northern Europeans have adopted. He never thought the Northern Europeans would go crazy like this.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You know, the euro is based, is run pretty much out of Germany, out of the Bundesbank, and the folks there going back to the Deutschmark, which was recreated after the horrific catastrophe that became the Reichsmark. During Weimar Republic and the hyperinflation, they are very, very sensitive to inflationary pressures that come with rampant money printing. And yet, last week, the euro, the ECB, decided that, yeah, they're going to start monetizing their debt, so-called quantitative easing that you've seen in the UK and the US, something that they adamantly said they would not be doing because it goes against every fiber of their soul as central bankers, but they've given up the ghost. They're now engaging in this, and they're also engaging in something else that just slipped my mind.
Well, they've been printing money, buying up toxic debts from countries and from banks.
Well, they took $1 trillion in debt money from the U.S. to help bail out European bankers. And this is really an interesting situation because it is kind of like, I think you'd have to go back to the Marshall Plan after World War II to come up with something as huge between the U.S. and Europe. I think the Marshall Plan in inflation-adjusted dollars is roughly $400 billion in money that was given from America to Europe to help build Europe after World War II. Here, last week, America gave Europe $1 trillion just to bail out a few wacky, corrupt bankers who had leveraged themselves to extract wealth from the community and pay themselves enormous bonuses.
Yeah, but to enslave the population, too, on the behalf of the bankers. Because, look, the Iceland is a very, very, it's a great microcosm for the entire corruption that's gone on worldwide. You have three banks that racked up debts of 12 times the GDP of the country. Now, all the information that has emerged then shows that two-thirds, just of Kaupthing Bank, two-thirds of all those bad loans to Kaupthing Bank, two-thirds were given to London-based people who were all had connections to the shareholders. They were shareholders or owners of the bank itself. And all that money went to them, but now the Icelandic people are being forced to pay that money. And everybody's saying, like, the populations of Britain and the Netherlands, for example, you see it all the time. They're attacking the Icelandic people, that they're, you know, they're bad debtors and blah, blah, blah.
Scapegoating.
Scapegoating each other, whether it's Germans versus, you know, Greeks, who are equally being penalized by bankers. The German people are asked to take their savings and make whole the Greeks' debts, which are owed to these bankers. But I mean, it's quite you know, more dramatic in Iceland, just because it's literally only three banks.
That's right. And they had Icelandic krona drop by like 90%.
Yeah.
So it went through that Weimar Republic type Reichsmark collapse type
of
scenario.
That causes hyperinflation there, and there is that in Iceland itself.
That's right.
You would think, oh, collapse is great, everything gets cheap. Well, it does
to hyperinflation.
It does to other people outside the country, but if you're earning in that currency,
that's right. So the dollar, the U.S. dollar, is the beneficiary. It's the leopard with the most fingers. It's the winning horse at the glue factory. You know, it's you know, the number of these analogies and metaphors have popped up recently, which are, I find them all quite amusing. And so on a on a beauty contest of chimpanzees, so is America, the dollar is a place where people are going to park their New Zealand dollars. Australian dollar looking weak again last week. The whole shine of the recent activities is off. Canadian dollar is selling off. Everything's selling off against the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar, of course,
this
is...
This week.
Well, this, we do a show every week, don't we?
Yeah, I'm saying, like, it's going to...
This week with Max and Stacey.
It's going to go the other way next week. It's just so crazy and volatile. But you were talking about counterfeiting. So this and naked short selling. This is we were talking about Jim Rogers' interview.
Yes, Jim Rogers, yes.
Yes, and then, so we got to Iceland.
Oh, yes.
And... there's been an international arrest warrant issued for Sigurdur Einarsson, who was the former chairman of the board and co-CEO of Kaupthing Bank.
Oh, very good, very good. Well played.
He lives in Chelsea, London, and Interpol has issued an arrest warrant for fraud and money, counterfeiting.
I tell you where they can find him, at the Chelsea Flower Show.
The Chelsea Flower.
Every putz and wanker goes to that thing every year. He'll be there sniffing the daisies.
I'm not sure you could say that, but he's being charged with counterfeiting. Now,
right.
We should talk to Birgitta and find out what exactly this counterfeiting means, but
you're
thinking it has to do with this naked short selling. Perhaps he was printing shares of the company,
something
that didn't exist.
Same thing.
I don't know, but...
Same thing!
So you asked Jim Rogers about this.
Yeah, right. So, that's right. And he said, well, the Chinese have just authorized and legalized naked short selling.
And he said, and so they're more capitalist than America is.
Right.
Because they're now allowing naked short selling.
Right. Now, naked short selling means you are selling something that doesn't exist, which is the same thing as the counterfeiting. So, in other words, in the area of, let's say, the stock market, if a bank has 10 million shares outstanding, and 10 million shares are held by one institution, let's say, or five institutions, each hold 2 million shares, all 10 million shares of that bank are accounted for. All 10 million shares outstanding are accounted for and owned by the institutions of record, those five banks who may own 2 million shares apiece. Now, if you come to the marketplace, you come to the exchange down there where they trade shares in this bank, and you show up with 1 million shares to sell, and you're not officially on the record books as one of the five banks that own those shares, but you're selling shares anyway. You're selling shares that you yourself have just printed up, and basically you say you own. And that's called a naked short sale. And
and you're going to talk about that more after this music break.
That's right. That's right. So that's a naked short sale. And... there is lots of it that goes on, and it's allowable under certain interpretations of securities laws as a way, according to some, to keep the, quote, market-making operations, quote, efficient,
mm-hmm.
or to keep liquidity, end quote, in place. And there is a central clearing point that tracks all of the shares out there on supposedly on a regular basis, on a timely basis, hopefully would think on a daily basis, so at the end of the day, they can count up and see whether or not all the shares traded were actually in existence. Now, what was discovered during the Overstock case, Overstock Incorporated, who was attacked by naked short sellers and the stock was driven down almost into bankruptcy, is that the clearinghouse that keeps track of all this stuff, which the name escapes me at the moment, but the actual clearinghouse that keeps track of this stuff, they were so behind on matching the buys and sales and correlating to a database of stock that they were 6 months behind, a year behind, 2 years behind. So if you sold stock naked, that is to say counterfeit, it may be 2 years before anybody actually figures out that that's what happened. And clearly, this opens up an enormous wiggle room for fraud. And this is part of why the global economy is suffering as it is because nobody actually has a definitive database as to who owns what and at what price they got it at. And there's no incentive to do so because keeping open this huge window of fraud is what makes banks make lots of money. And so when we talked to Jim Rogers about this naked short selling, and his response was very revealing because he seemed to indicate that, well, it's not a matter of whether it's legal or not. It's a matter of whether you get caught or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, because if the trade goes against you. Another good example of when this naked short selling happened was during the Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers collapses. There were hundreds of thousands of shares naked short sold. Like, there were way more shares outstanding, allegedly, by the numbers than actually existed for the company.
Right.
But, of course, these people didn't have to deliver because the uptick rule has also been taken away. So there's no chance now when you're coordinated attack on a company, there's very little chance that you're going to actually have to deliver those shares.
Right. That's why, you know, think about an arson working for the mafia who burns down a dry cleaner shop or a pizza joint. Part of the charm, the way the crime works and the insurance payout is that if you burn the establishment to a crisp, all the evidence is gone. And there's no hope of any recovery, and it's just taken off the face of the earth. So if you naked short sell a company like Bear Stearns or Lehman Brothers down to zero, there's nothing left to investigate. It's all over. There's no point in trying to reconcile who owned what and whether the shares are owned by whom, because it's all over. Now, in the case of Bear Stearns, of course, they're now owned by J.P. Morgan. So that stock, I think, actually didn't go completely to zero. It was sold down to roughly $2 a share, I believe, the transaction occurred at, and the stock had been as high as, I think, if memory serves, roughly 90. But J.P. Morgan, of course, would have assimilated all those naked short sales and just buried it in some of their off-balance sheet special purpose entity accounts, along with their huge ongoing fraudulent market manipulation schemes, most prominently in the silver market. And the J.P. Morgan's manipulation of the silver market is now a subject of investigation by, I think it's the CFTC or the SEC?
The SEC and the Department of Justice.
Okay, so those two regulatory agencies are now investigating J.P. Morgan for silver manipulation. But that's not the only thing that J.P. Morgan manipulates. They manipulate many, many, many markets all day long. That's their primary business model, as is the situation with most banks. So in the case of Lehman Brothers, though, the stock did actually go to zero. And So in that way, it is similar to a mafia torching of a dry cleaning establishment, and all the evidence is now burnt away, and there won't be any reconciliation of those short sales. And that's why once you have shorted and naked shorted millions of shares and you're committing massive fraud, you have to commit yourself to selling short the company out of existence, because if you fail to kill the company, then there's a possibility that regulators will track back to you the crime. So you have to put two pops to the head. You know, it has to be a real clean mafia-style hit. You can't let the victim live. you know, in the hospital and breathe another day, because then you may be implicated in the crime. You have to really be serious and to assassinate that company without any possibility of it breathing another day. And certainly in Lehman Brothers, we saw that.
Well, we're seeing it with Greece and with Greece, countries around the world.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about what's happening in the Eurozone is that the incentive now for the hedge funds who are short the euro in many ways, in order for them to remain completely immune from prosecution, they would have to force the euro to be broken up. So the euro was originally constituted by bringing together something like 16 countries, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they had the euro, which lasted approximately 10, 11, 12 years or so. And it rolled out in different countries and, you know, staggered rollout. Now you've got the hedge fund assassins who are there. Obviously, Ireland and Greece have been targeted for death, and they're selling short and selling naked short those countries into oblivion. In order for these guys to be assured of walking away scot-free from this crime, they have to make sure that the euro is split up, because if it survives in any way, the records will be such that you could piece together exactly the crime that was committed. So you're going to have to take it out completely, and I believe now that there's so much criminality involved in this manipulation that the perpetrators, the hedge funds and the banks, are going to make sure now that the euro is completely obliterated.
Yes, Max, but it's not just the hedge funds, as you just mentioned in the second bit right there. You said banks. It's largely the banks. And as we point out in our show today, the Kaiser Report, which you can find at maxkaiser.com, it is, as Angela Merkel says, it's the banks that we bailed out that are now attacking the euro. It's the European banks that are shorting it as well. So, you know, this is that, well, she is from Germany. She should know better. She should know that the capitalists will sell themselves the rope to hang themselves.
Well, Karl Marx was German.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's German, too.
But she's never read Karl Marx.
Well, she grew up in East Germany. I'm sure she did.
Well, she got an F from Marxism. For not understanding this basic fact that if you give a dog 40 pounds of dog food, it'll eat itself to death.
Yeah, so
if you give these bankers unlimited cash at no interest rate and no transaction costs, they will destroy you.
Yes, and you bail them out for them to live another day. It's like they took down the global economy with all their bad debts.
And you
rescue them.
That's right.
And you're, like, shocked. It's like a serial killer, you know, attacks you on a boat. He falls into the water, and there are sharks around. And you're like, oh, no, I've got to save him. And you help him up so he doesn't get bitten by the sharks.
Yep.
And then he kills you. And you're like, why are you doing this to me? I just saved you from the sharks. What do you expect? He's a psychopathic killer.
It's the scorpion and the frog.
Okay, tell us your little story. I thought you were going to take the brother with the egg.
No. This little story, of course, was made famous in that movie, The Crying Game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
I think was it Forrest Whitaker was in that film, or some famous black actor dude was in there. Maybe Forrest Whitaker. Anyway, so it's the scorpion and the frog story, which, you know, the scorpion asked the frog to take it across the river. And the frog says, no, you're going to bite me, and I'll drown. And the scorpion says, well, why would I do that? We would both drown. So the frog says, okay. So he gives the scorpion a lift across the river. Halfway across the river, the scorpion bites the frog. And as they're both drowning to death, the frog asks the scorpion, why did you do that? And the scorpion says, it's my nature.
Yeah, so... The scorpion killed himself too, because
that's right. It's their nature. He's a suicide scorpion. So, it's their nature. Their nature is they can't stop attacking. Okay, bankers, hedge funds. They can't stop making mischief. They can't stop attacking. They can't stop borrowing money at 0% interest rate. They can't stop speculating. They can't stop influence peddling and buying politicians. They can't stop. And by giving them more wherewithal, more free money to do so, you're guaranteeing your own destruction along with the bankers.
Well, with that, we're going to come right back after this little break.
You know, Stacey, we were in Berlin making a movie a couple of years ago, and it was at that time some higher up in the German financial world accused the hedge funds of being locusts.
Pierre Steinbrücker, I believe was his name.
That's right. And this was, that's got to be 3 years ago now. And
Maybe even like 4 years ago.
Maybe 4 years ago. And he said, look, these hedge funds and these predatory bankers are like locusts. They're coming into our economy and they're destroying our economy. And people like Merkel at that time laughed him off, saying that, ha, 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 you don't understand modern capitalism. Ha, 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 you don't understand finance. You're too stupid to understand how hedge funds work. And he was laughed off the stage. Now, at that time, we made the comment that he's absolutely right. These are locusts. They will destroy the economy. Here we are 4 years later, and Merkel is gasping for air because she's drowning with these suicide bankers.
Yeah, and specifically how he related it is that he was talking about private equity in particular and saying that they're just swapping equity. They're swapping debt for equity. So they're hollowing out the economies around the world, and they're just leaving debt.
That's right.
And these are the debts that did blow up a few years later. So it's destabilized everywhere because there is no equity anywhere.
Well, here's another analogy for you.
Okay.
You remember that movie with Harrison Ford, Temple of Doom, I think it's called, or what is it?
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And he's in the cave, and he has to snatch the, what is it, a diamond or something? He has to snatch the magic Ark of the Covenant or the magic bauble or something. And as he does so, in order to fool the emergency systems there, he quickly swaps a bag of rocks or something on the little pedestal, which is roughly the same weight.
Yeah.
And so you see him, you know, very quick. He goes, and he grabs the object and he replaces it with the bag of shells. And for 2 or 3 seconds, all is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hear this rumbling, rumble, rumble, rumble. And you look over his shoulder and there's a boulder the size of, a 4-story building suddenly appears and chases him down the cave and almost kills him.
Yep.
Now, that boulder in this example is bad debt. And the swap is what you just described, a debt for equity swap. Merkel and the gang allowed the bankers to swap the valuable egg for a worthless bag of shells, in this case, collateralized debt obligations and other related flora and fauna of the derivatives jungle. And unfortunately, Mother Nature knows best and figures out finally that this was not the same, and now they've unleashed this huge boulder. Unfortunately, in the case of Greece and Ireland and Iceland, the boulder has rolled over the population and wiped some people out. And now it's rolling over more people in places like the UK and soon to come to the US, etc.
And by the way, you know, your neighbor down under, down here, Steve Keen, won the Revere Award for his work on modeling this sort of Minsky moment.
Yeah, he was wore a polka dot bikini. For the swimsuit competition, which is an outfit he likes better than the running suit he was wearing on that trot he had to do from Brisbane to Guam as a result of some lost bet. But yeah, he won the Revere Award for
predicting this crisis and why it was going to happen. And he predicted it based
number on... Number one. Number two was Nouriel Roubini.
Yep.
And number three was...
Mark Faber.
And Steve Keen rightfully got the top prize because he... has been the most accurate prognosticator and...
just using basically physics. He's modeled what using Hyman Minsky's work is debt becomes exponential at a point. And at that point, there's only... Once it becomes a straight up situation, reality, like what happened, and it doesn't, you know, there are many charts in the world that show you exactly what happened.
Yeah, notice that no inflationist is on that list. There's no Peter Schiff, there's no Eric Jansen, there's no, who are the other inflationists? Even Jim Rogers was talking, you know, his whole thesis was inflation, inflation, inflation for years. He's saying the banks are printing money, it's inflationary. But of course, the money never made it into circulation. There was no velocity of money, so we have deflation. So that was absolutely wrong. So Steve Keen, winner of the Revere Award, correctly sussing out the macro picture as deflation. And the Revere Award, of course, is the opposite of that other award, which I like very much, the Dynamite Award,
yep.
given to economists that have blown up most the economy over the years. And I think that would make a good series for films.
Yeah, so, but anyway, in his own native Australia, Steve Keen is, of course, ridiculed and mocked because That's house right. prices have not yet crashed there. So, you know, right. this is just so classic Greek tragedy, speaking of Greek tragedies, because, mm-hmm. of course, they're all laughing while the rest of the world is on fire and blowing up, and euro is melting down, the dollar's melting down, gold's melting up, all sorts of crazy stuff is happening.
Yeah,
and
well, yet, what he didn't account for was the subsidy from the Australian government that came in to boost house prices artificially in the short term, which screwed up the timeline of the collapse projection that he was making. And it gave this other guy looking like he got a reprieve. But not in a global debt deflation. I see the Australian dollar is not acting very well this past week. And you see oil was busting into the $90 territory just like 3 or 4 days ago. It's now back in the low 70s. And this is having a big impact on these resource currencies like Canadian dollar, Australian dollar, New Zealand dollar. Again, the U.S. dollar is inheriting all this money. Oh, excuse me. All this money flow. But, you know, ultimately what backs the U.S. dollar is the military, because half of every military dollar spent in the entire world is spent by America. They've got the biggest military operation in the world. And anytime they need to, they can create a deflationary event to make sure their interest rates stay near zero, so that the dollar remains world reserve currency, which gives them the benefit of, what is it, seniorage? No, mm-hmm. seniorage, which is they get a commission on every dollar that's in circulation. Easy money. And of course, everyone needs dollars. If you're Japan and you need to buy oil, you have to buy dollars first because oil is priced in dollars. That's the deal made after World War II. And the only challenger is the ultimate heavyweight, the number one king heavyweight of all time. I'm speaking, of course, of gold bullion, the gold vigilantes, of which I am one. We are now scoring some serious points against the dollar. We plan to be knocking the dollar out entirely in the near term.
Okay. Well, that's it for this week's Truth About Markets for RDU 98.5.
That's
Christchurch,
New Zealand. Until next time, bye, y'all.